All right, good evening, everyone. If you don't know, my name is Scott Warren. I'm the youth pastor here at Calvary Chapel, North Jersey. Pastor Tim is away in El Salvador and Guatemala, along with Pastor Joe and a team of, about 20. So if you remember throughout this week, I think they come home next week, but they're there for the next 2 weeks. But if you could remember just to pray for the team there, Pastor Joe Nigro, and the whole team there. So let's open up in prayer. We pray to our Heavenly Father, God, we pray. Pray that tonight is all about you. And I just pray that we'd just come and just open up our hearts, that we'd look into your word and that you'd speak to us. That you'd speak to us and that you'd bless us. Let us now just look into your word, O Lord, and only your word, and be blessed. We pray this all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you brought your Bibles, and I hope you did, it's a Bible study, let's open up our Bibles to Luke chapter 10, which is where we'll be tonight. If you forgot your Bible, ran out of the house, busy, and you need a Bible, you can just ask Jason Sell. He's sitting right in the back there. He'll find you a Bible. I don't want you to be at a Bible study without a Bible. All right. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 24. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it would be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. A few weeks ago, my wife and I were invited to a family barbecue, her brother's fiance down in Perth Amboy. So I didn't think I was going to make it, and I wanted to kind of surprise her, you know, because we were so busy with graduation parties and graduations. And we started to go down there like around 7 o'clock at night down to Perth Amboy, and we got there, it was around almost 8 o'clock. And it was the, you know, typical Portuguese barbecue. You know, the food was on the grill. They eat late. There was a lot of family members. Some family members had came in from Portugal, and we were saying our hellos. And Alex was at the tables outside in this backyard. And my daughter, Michaela, and my son, Elijah, my daughter's 4, my son is 2, they were running around the yard playing and fooling around. They had this little kid, Anthony, with him also. He was 4 years old. And they're just running around playing and fooling around. And you could see, as it got darker, you could see these little, like, bugs, these flashing bugs. And my daughter and my son, and it looked like even this little boy, had never seen these fireflies, these lightning bugs, as you call them. And they were just sitting there. They just stopped, and they were just amazed. And they're running around. They're 4 and 2. And they're running around trying to catch these lightning bugs. And they come over to me, and I'm watching them and laughing. And they come over to me, "Daddy, Daddy, catch them, catch them." So we were able to catch, you know, I went and caught a bunch of them. I put like 3 in one cup, 2 in another, and 3 in another cup, and a Tupperware cup. And we put some plastic over it and put some holes in it. And my daughter was so amazed, and my son, and the little boy. And, you know, they're running throughout the yard, and they were falling all over the place, but they didn't let go of this cup with these lightning bugs. And you can see the light, you know, lighting up the cup. And on the way home, it was late, and we had Sunday school, the church the next day, and we're driving home in the car, and within a few minutes, the kids were, you know, asleep. I mean, my wife were driving, you could see, like, these lightning bugs. You could see these yellow lights in the back of our car just continuing lighting up. And we came home, we put our kids to bed, and our kids woke up in the morning, you know, and they run to the cups, but these bugs were dead. You know, they were out in the environment. We put them in a cup. We put some plastic over them, and you know, they're not meant to live like that. Their light went out. You know, they were dead. You know, you're going to, you know, see my kids later. They'll come in here, so don't say anything about lightning bugs. They, you know, they took it really hard, and they were actually upset over it. But, you know, we had to explain to her, you know, We took these lightning bugs for you. We put them in this cup, and they didn't belong in this cup. And they put the plastic over it. And the plastic and being in this cup and being in overnight, nothing to eat, and probably very little air to breathe, they died. You know, I want to talk to you tonight about our light going out. I want to talk to you tonight about being so busy, you know, here in New Jersey, here in this area, New Jersey, New York. I want to talk about maybe this world has put you in a plastic cup, put some plastic over you. Maybe you're here tonight and you're tired and you're just beat up and, you know, you're so busy and, you know, it's the summer and, you know, all the barbecues that you have to go to and all the endless hours at work. No air conditioning. You know, and you're just tired and you're beat up. It says in verses 2 and 3, it says, "The harvest is plentiful," Jesus is speaking, "the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And he says, "Go." Do you remember when God first called your name? Do you remember that? You remember when God first called your name, when you didn't know who God was, or maybe you were curious, or you just didn't know. And he first called your name. You first accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You remember that. And you'd come, you'd read in his scriptures about going out and telling others about Jesus, and you wanted to do that. I mean, I'll speak for myself. I wanted to tell the world about Jesus. I came to know Jesus, the Lord called me, and I came to know, accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I wanted to tell the world. I mean, I'd make out my bills at night, and I'd put tracts in them. You know, I'd be driving down the parkway, the turnpike, you know, I'd be handing out tracts to the toll collectors, and you know, I was so young, I would take off quick because I didn't know. What happens if they asked me a question? What happens if they, you know, they were curious? You know, hey, the track said it all. You know, hey, let the track do the work. I didn't know. But, you know, I would come to this passage. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And Jesus says, go. We also see in verse 16, he who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. How about also when you'd be handing out these tracts, when you'd be telling others, your family members, hey, I'm saved. Jesus Christ did this for me. He did this for you. And people would reject you. You know, you know, I remember times going in, you know, one time I went to New York City and we were handing out tracts, you know. Felt God was telling myself and a couple of my friends to go into the city and to hand out tracts. And we'd go and hand out tracts, and these people would chase us. You know, we'd be 5 in the morning over there by Penn Station, you know, handing out tracts, and people would chase us and swear at us. And then you would have family members. You'd have family members. Oh, you're taking this too far, Scott. And church is a Sunday thing. It's not an everyday thing. People in my family would reject me. And I'm sure that you have felt that. You have seen that. You've had that happen to you. We have to look at, it's not us that they're rejecting in the long run. They will be held accountable. It's God. It's God that they are rejecting. We also see in verses 21, at this time, Jesus, full of joy, through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. Amen. Amen. I remember reading the Word of God before. I remember, you know, opening up, you know, my mom would bring us to church and they would talk about, you know, I'd end up there on the first Sunday of the month and they'd be, you know, this is the blood, you know, this is his body. And I'm like, man, they're cannibals. You know, this doesn't make any sense to me. This, I don't, you know, and as soon as I came into that relationship, it all made sense. I would be reading it. And it all made sense. And it's a big amen. You're sitting here tonight, and not only here, but you're at home or you're in another Bible study or on Sundays, and you can sit here and you can read the Word. You can understand it. And that's something to be so happy about. This is not my story. This is a story that I heard. There was this professor, and he was a professor at some seminary, and he was a big shot there. And they would get together and, you know, expound on the Word of God and, even pretend that they were God a little bit. And every day at lunchtime, he would pass the maintenance shop, and he would see this janitor sitting there eating his lunch and reading his Bible every day. You know, every day he'd pass there, and he'd see this janitor. So one day this professor stops and says to this man, oh, so what are you reading? And he says, oh, the book of Revelations. And do you understand this? And the janitor says, yes. And he says, tell me, what does it mean? God wins. And the janitor sat down and, you know, continued to read. And this professor went off and he was like, he couldn't believe it. You know, it's that easy. And God has revealed his truth to not only to myself, but to all of us here. It also says in verses 23 to 24, then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Amen again. Amen again that we can, come here together, study God's word, and understand. My wife and I, we don't get to watch a lot of TV, but lately we've been catching some shows on TV about the end times and about the Bible. And we would sit down and we're watching it. And these professors, these priests and these people that are, you know, that teach the Bible at some big colleges, some big places, they were off. I mean, me and my wife were sitting there laughing when we had our Bibles right there, and I'm like, bro, is he reading the same thing? Oh, maybe it's a different translation. And I have a lot of translations in my house, so, you know, I sit there and look at it, and I'm just like, where's this guy coming from? We just had to laugh. I'm talking about the end times, and they were just so far off. They're trying so hard to understand it and so hard to interpret it that they miss it. And here we are. We come together in a little Bible study on a Wednesday night, and God reveals the truth to us. And we should be happy. We should be thankful that we can come here, and it's, you know, God just reveals himself through his word. We're going to skip over the parable of the Good Samaritan. We're going to shoot over to verses 38 to 42. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will be not taken away from her. You know, sitting at the feet of Jesus, we see here that, you know, if you read carefully and you dig deep, you see that, you know, they had talked about in some of the commentaries when I was studying this, and some of the different translations explain it a little bit better. You know, Mary did her work. She did her job. But Martha wanted to go above and beyond, as a lot of us do. I'm point fingers at myself, as I'm guilty of. We, you know, Mary helped Martha, and they worked together, and the job was done. The house was clean, the food was cooked, you know, or being cooked, and she wanted to be at the most important spot in the house, the most important place at the house, and that's at the feet of Jesus. Martha's running around. You got to prepare. I mean, think about it. If Jesus just knocked on your door, you know, it'd probably be the longest, like, 10 minutes of my life, because I'd be running around the house, you know, putting all the kids' toys away, you know, patting the cushions on my couch, make sure they're nice and fluffy, you know, trying to put some drinks on the table and, you know, then invite him in, and he's probably still sitting at the door, you know, waiting at the door and trying to get our house together. My wife would even be guilty of this, and then Jesus would come in, and I'd probably wind up leaving her and sitting and laying at the feet of Jesus and leaving her to do all the work. And sometimes we can get that way. Sometimes we can get so busy. Let me ask a question today, you know. Are we busy? Are we busy in New Jersey? I say New Jersey, New York, I say this whole area. Are we busy? I look at my day. You know, I wake up at 5 in the morning. You know, I take a shower. I read my Bible. I pray. Spend some time alone with God. And I go off to work. It's like, usually I'm at work 6:15, 6:30. And before you know it, it's 10 o'clock. It's break time. Before you know it, it's lunchtime. Before you know it, it's like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and I'm getting ready to go home. And there's the whole day. How much was Jesus in that day? I mean, I work here. I'm the youth pastor here at Calvary Chapel, but I'm also the head of maintenance for the Hawthorne Gospel Church. You would think I'm surrounded by Jesus all day, but that's not true. You know, there's plenty of stuff to be done where I work and running around and doing those things. And we just become so busy. So I would say that, you know, I have a little bit of a Mary and I have a little bit of Martha in me, meaning that, or probably more a lot of Martha, where I run around and I'm so busy and I'm preparing and I'm doing all these things and I'm so busy with work. Sometimes I forget to lay at the feet of Jesus. I mean, you read that. You read that. It says, Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Doesn't that sound inviting after our long day, the rain, the heat? I mean, at 6 o'clock this morning, it was pouring rain and I couldn't see and it was just crazy and working all day. And knowing that I would have to come here tonight and, you know, you get tired. And I studied this and looked over this, and it just, every time I came to that part where it says, Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Now, people who know me know that my biggest prayer is not to be at the right or the left of Jesus. It's never to be first. All I want to do, my heart's prayer is to lay at the feet of Jesus. That's my number one desire, just to lay at the feet of Jesus. But if there's anyone guilty of it, it's me. I'm guilty of just being so busy, that I forget to lay at the feet of Jesus. And for the past 3 years, the past 4 years, you know, in this past year, I've been just laying at the feet of Jesus this past year, just really realizing what is important. Because God doesn't want that. God doesn't want us to sit there and just be busy and just work, whether you work for a church or not. Just work. You know, it says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, it says, come all who are weary, you know, and we'll find rest. God definitely doesn't want that for any of us. Now back to verses 25. And this is going to bring us all, bringing everything together. It says, the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, what is written in the law? He replied, what do you read? This man says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. You see, this Jewish man traveling on a road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And it was a dangerous road. It was a road that was well traveled. but had a lot of turns and bumps and a lot of little hiding spots for people to hide. And a lot of people got robbed on this road. We see a Jewish man who got robbed, who's bloodied, naked, left the die there. And we see a priest comes. We see, and as you read this, if it's your first time or if you have read this, if you remember when you read this the first time, you're reading a priest and you're saying, hey, this is this man's job. This is what God has called him to do. He will help this person. But he doesn't. He doesn't help this man. Not only does he not just, no, he doesn't even stay on the same side of the street. He goes on to the other side of the street and pretend like, oh, I don't see anything. I don't see anything. I don't see anything. And he leaves this man, this Jewish man, to die there, naked, bloodied. And then we see a Levite come, the equivalent of today's world, a social worker. Again, this is this guy's job. And again, he sees this Jewish man on the side of the street, and he just leaves him there on the side of the road. Bloodied, naked. It's not like, you know, it could be, oh, is he all right? You know, did he fall, you know? No. This Levite just passes by on the other side of the road again. Before I came to know the Lord, Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. I remember one night driving through Patterson. We were on Spruce Street. And I was with a couple of friends, and we were going out that night. And I remember driving down Spruce Street in Patterson, and I remember seeing this man in the corner of my eye, some guy in a corner, some homeless man, some wino. And he was stumbling, and it looked like he was going to fall. And in the corner of my eye, I see this guy fall. I tell my friend, oh, come on, pull over, let's go help this guy out. And I remember getting there, and like we made perfect eye contact. It was like he was speaking to me, but I couldn't understand anything that he was saying. His speech was slurred, and he was, you know, having a heart attack. And I'm shaking, and I'm saying, you know, please help. We didn't have cell phones then, you know, little pagers, whatever, but I'm telling someone to call. And this man just died in my arms. And as the ambulance comes, and not to their fault, but, you know, they came, and I said, you know, what are you going to do? What's going to happen? And they said, no, this guy's dead. And it was just like, you know, they threw him on the thing, and they put him in the ambulance, and off they went. And I got back in the car, and we all wound up going home that night. No, we didn't do anything. I wasn't a Christian, but there was nothing I could do. There was nothing in my power that I could help this man. He just died there. I didn't know who he was. His name wasn't in the paper. It wasn't on the news. Just this homeless man, this wino guy, dying on the street. But we see here a Samaritan, all right? A Samaritan. They were half-breeds in that time. They were nobodies. They were at the bottom of the pole. And here's a Samaritan man, and he's getting ready. He's going to help this Jewish man. The Jewish people and the Samaritan people, they didn't get along. There was always fighting. If the tables were turned, I don't know if this Jewish man would help even the Samaritan. But here you see the Samaritan comes, put some oil and wine on his wounds, on the Jewish man's wounds, bandages them up, puts him on his donkey, takes him to his inn, and takes care of him. And then winds up, you know, giving 2 coins to the innkeeper. Tells him, you know, I'm going to be back. If anything happens, you know, if there's anything else, you know, if it costs any more, I'll pay you back. I'll reimburse you for it. It was just, you know, 2 coins. Each coin was worth a day's wages. But we see God here uses a half-breed, you know. Say, in my commentaries, they said these people were nobodies. They were losers. They were trash. We saw a priest come by. We saw a Levite come by. They didn't help him. It was their job. You know, that's what God had called this priest to do, is to help the poor, to help the sick, to help the dying. And he just passed them by. I want to ask a question. You know, it says in verse 36, it says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him, Jesus told him. And he says, go and do likewise. Yeah, we'll all come up with that answer, you know, the Samaritan. We'll all come out, oh yeah, it was the Samaritan. He did the job, and it's right here in front of us. I mean, not only were these people the robbers who left this man bloodied, naked, and they stole from him and beat him up. Not only were they guilty, but this priest was guilty, and so was this Levite for leaving this man to die on the road. And I just reading it, you know, I had to ask myself several questions, you know, and just wanted to ask you also. Have you ever been down that road? Have you ever felt, you know, just dead? Have you ever felt stripped of everything? Your friends have left you. You know, the number one question is, do you remember when you were dead? Honestly, do you remember when you were dead? When you didn't have the relationship with Jesus Christ? When you didn't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you remember that? Oh, come on, you know, you're going to say, all right, Scott, enough. I was born in a Christian home. You know, I was never, you know, dead. We see in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, you know, it says, all have sinned. You know, before I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, I was going to hell. Some of you may have been born into a Christian home, but it doesn't mean that you were going to heaven. You were going to the same place that I was until you acknowledged Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, we see also, you know, you got to go around and say, you know, who are you? Are we a priest? Are we a Levite? Are we the Good Samaritan? You know, I won't even ask you that question. I'll say from me, you know, if you were to stand up and Jay Selma back over there would say, Scott, who are you? I would love to say the Good Samaritan. Oh, I'd love to say that. But it's not true. It's not true at all. I've been the priest. I've been the Levite. See, I got called up in the business of ministry at one particular time, like about 3 years ago. I got so busy that I wasn't laying at the feet of Jesus any longer. I wasn't spending that time that I needed to spend alone with Jesus Christ. No. And I wasn't going out any longer. Not like when I first got saved. I wasn't going out and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I wasn't going out and helping people and telling people what Jesus Christ has done for me and in my life and what he could do for them. You know, I became that Levite. I became that priest. I became so busy in ministry, I had forgotten what God truly had called me to do. You know, we see in I became so busy and so caught up in the things of this world, so just, you know, busy doing ministry, where, you know, I used to be in church every Sunday and praying at home, you know, and reading God's word and spending that time at the feet of Jesus, where I just got so busy and I said, hey, I'm in ministry. You know, it's the same thing. I substitute busyness for being fed and just laying at the feet of Jesus. We see in in the beginning, in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 24, we were to go out. It says that we were to go out and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it says in verses 2 and 3, it says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And he says, go. We should be proclaimers of God's truth. We also see in the third part of Luke, chapter 38 to 42, Mary chose to love Christ, and not to accept the business of preparing and going overboard with Martha. She chose the best thing. You know, you read that there in verses 39. You know, it just said she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. And that's what happens in a lot of times in ministry, a lot of times in our lives, that we become so busy that we forget what it's all about. And we see in the second part, the part that we had skipped over and came back to in verses 25 to 28. It says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? And again he says, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus said. Jesus replied, do this and you will live. You know, and you just sit there and you read over verse 27 there. And it says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And it says, and love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, I'm not trying to, you want to leave here and say, man, Scott, not only was it hot today, not only, you know, were we busy at work, not only is there air conditioning here, but like you're giving us this big stinking rock, and you're placing it on my lap, and I'm going to go out, and thanks for making me feel guilty. You know? But I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty. I mean, it's the Word of God that will convict. It says it here. Again, love the Lord your God with all your heart. I'm not picking up some stone and saying, hey, Chris Bialy, you know, here's this big stone. Go to work tomorrow and carry it around all day. You know, I'm not asking that. You know, I'm speaking from the things that have gone on in my life. I was broke. I was spent. I was just got so caught up in life around me and just basically really forgot about Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, my personal Savior. I was burnt out. Some of my friends know that. You know, the closest people know that. People who work with me know that. I was done with church. I was broke. And I was tired. I said, man, this is not how it's supposed to be. I remember when in the beginning. I remember when I was that person, half naked, broken, not half naked, naked, broken, beat up, tired. I remember when God first called my name. And I remember when I answered that calling. And I was broke. I was tired. And it just everything came so easy. His word. Telling others about Jesus Christ, even though in the beginning I really couldn't talk. I just hand out the tracts or stuff in my, you know, my bills. Where'd that easiness go? Where did that simple truth, that simple faith go? I went to Bible, you know, I had to study the Word, you know, and I'd have to, you know, go to this prayer meeting, go to that prayer meeting, and, you know, have youth group, and, you know, then I have work, and, you know, I got to make all those people happy, and, you know, and just, I'd wake up in the morning, and I wasn't, you know, spending that time alone with God. I wasn't, you know, all throughout the day, I wasn't thinking about God. I was just, bro, it was work, and that was it. I still love Jesus. I still, you know, wanted to be with him. That didn't change, but I just got caught up in the business of this area. I know a lot of you know that. And it's crazy. We live in an area where, you know, it'll suck you dry. I mean, it'll take everything it has from you, and it'll spit you out. And that's what it did to me. You know, I was I consider myself as still a fairly, you know, new Christian, a new believer. You know, I still feel young. And I just felt like, you know, I was thrown into a room full of Christians, everybody pulling at you, everybody pulling at each other. And I was just drowning. You know, anybody ever throw you in the pool, you ever go in a pool, or you're ever in the ocean and you get sucked in, or you're under that water and you just can't breathe. I mean, it stinks. I just felt like I couldn't breathe anymore. I just felt like I couldn't hear God's voice anymore. And Pastor Joe winds up calling me, and he's Joe Nigro. And he says, "Oh, you got to come out to this Bible study on Wednesday nights over in Passaic." And I said, "Joe, I don't need another Bible study." "No, you'll love it. You'll love it, I'm telling you." And he's, I mean, every time I see him, you guys know Joe, he's like, he's great. He's an awesome, just a great guy, but he's funny also, real funny. And he just kept calling me. I'll go with you. We'll go together. And I wound up coming, you know, to this Bible study. And he says, went home that night and we just talked and we prayed. And we're normally right next door. We're normally in a fellowship hall over there, and it's air conditioning. It's not so bad in here tonight. I really thought I'd be really sweating bad. But, you know, we're normally in there, and, you know, this little guy is up on the pulpit. And he's just teaching the word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, book by book. I went home, and Joe's asked me all these questions. And I knew Calvary Chapel, you know, church is somewhat my, you know, not somewhat, is my life, you know. And I knew the history behind Calvary Chapel, Chuck Smith and, you know, Lloyd Pulley and all those guys. And I knew what I was going to. I wasn't just going to some, you know, hotel where they're going to suck my brains dry. I knew that I was going to a Bible study that was, and the Word of God was going to be taught. And I was just fed. I left there and I was like, this is what it's all about. You know, just read the Bible. Never mind about, you know, doing this, doing that. And I was just fed. And I remember going home and just crying out to God. God, I need to come back. I need to come back. And that, you know, little Italian guy comes over to my house, him and his wife, and we had dinner together, and we just prayed, and we talked. And I remember going to the other room, and we just came together, and me and myself and this Italian guy. And we just prayed, and he prayed for me, and he says, you know, I'm not asking to come to Calvary, but, you know, I've been praying. I've been praying for, you know, someone that's interested in the youth, that's interested in just loving the Lord. And I shared my testimony with him. He shared where he came from, his testimony. But I was broke. I didn't want to do youth again. I was tired. I just finished 6 years with being the youth director over at Hawthorne Gospel Church for the junior high. My wife, we were tired, and, you know, we had two children. And I remember this, you know, this little Italian guy, you know, basically picked me up and just laid me at the feet of Jesus. And when he says, I'll be back, you know. This is where you need to be right now, Scott. That little Italian guy we know is Pastor Tim. Pastor Tim came back, and he says, for the next two and a half years to the next 3 years, I'm going to mentor you. I'm going to bring you back to the basics. I'm going to give you all the things that I have experienced. in the last, 18 plus years of ministry. And I'm like, really? How much is this going to cost me? He says, it's free. It was given to me freely, and I'm going to give it to you. That's what we did. For the next, 2.5 years, he just poured into me. No one ever did. I met some strong brothers and sisters along the way, but no one ever, picked me up like that before. No one ever picked me up and laid me at the feet where I belonged. And then he came back, and brought me back to the basics. And I think that we need to do that. I think we need to really remember that. Remember when we were on that road, dead. All right, we were dead. If you're busy, if you're just so busy and you're here tonight and your light is almost out, that light that people just say, hey, Jared, man, what's going on? Where you been? Or to, Kurt or whoever. Where have you been? And you're just sitting in this pew tonight and you're tired. You're like, man. But in the same time, your heart's crying out, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. I want to be at the feet of Jesus. I want to leave here tonight and just know that, I'm going to just lay at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to come back. I mean, it was so simple in the beginning. We'd go to church. And now we're, and we'd spend time alone with God. And we would have the fellowship on Sundays. And now it's, the sun's nice. Let me go down the shore and, on a Sunday when, we should be in here fellowshipping. It's not Scott's law. There's no rule, that you can't go to the shore on Sunday. But I know from experience, it's like I get busy and, I'll miss one Sunday and then I'll miss another Sunday. By the third Sunday, man, me and my wife are arguing a lot. I'm making bad decisions. I'm not getting along with my friends. I don't have that fellowship. People are calling me up. People are calling me up. Hey, Scott, where you been, brother? You all right? Yeah, I'm fine. Why? Yeah. What? I needed a break. I'm tired. No, this is because the body of Christ, the people here, we love one another, and we're still at that, where we're so small, and we're able to see when people aren't there. When you miss one Sunday, or you miss a Bible study, or maybe you miss a prayer meeting, or something that you're normally used to going to. I'm not saying that everybody has to go to Wednesday nights or a prayer meeting. We just start slipping slowly but surely. Whoa, I'm catching the sermons online, or I'm doing this, but you're not having that fellowship. We're not coming together, and you just start replacing, going out and doing other things with the world for that time that you need to be with Jesus. Now, if we can't remember when Jesus Christ picked us up from the side of the road, half dead, naked, I don't know how we're going to, you get so busy and how you're going to, serve the Lord. If we're just so busy, you get so caught up and you forget everything. And in verse 27, again, I'm going to read it one more time. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, do this and you will live. If we could sit there and read this tonight and just place that in your heart, then just as in the beginning, and when Jesus says, go out, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, go, then we can, if we could remember verse 27, then we can go out and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We can, as the parable of the Good Samaritan, we can love all as Christ does. And then as with Martha and Mary, as Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, we can love Jesus Christ. My biggest prayer tonight is that this message, what God has, you know, I've prayed so much about this and studied Luke chapter 10, read this probably 50 to 100 times. I mean, I just went over and went over and went over it. We really need to, I'm not saying that you sit there and you try to remember, you know, your past and then things that have happened, but we should, in ministry, remember when God called us, when God called our name. And we came to that point where we accepted his son's life, his death, and his resurrection, Jesus Christ. I knew that God saved us, and that God has a plan for us. And it's not to be busy. It's not for me to be running around and going nuts and going crazy. And I haven't mastered this. I mean, it's been a year now of slow progress, but, you know, trying to cut back my hours, trying to, you know, lay at the feet of Jesus, trying to spend some time, trying to make the fellowship here, you know, the talk with people and to pray with people and to just hang out with people and be encouraged by them and encourage them and, you know, and spend some time. And just to remember that. But the most important thing is that we need to lay at the feet of Jesus. We really do. I don't know about you, but out of all the whole chapter of 10, and there's so much awesome truth here. But it's just, man, it's so inviting. Verse 39. It says, Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Man, it's better than in any commercial out there. You see all these commercials and they've, you know, they got this and they got that and, you know, I'll sell you this and, oh, you can go to Hawaii or whatever. Man, that sounds more inviting than any vacation or anything that's on the TV or anybody that could try to sell you. What Mary did, she laid at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. We need to go back to that as a church, as a family here at Calvary Chapel, you know, as living in this area, you know, people have these, you know, the Palm Pilots and the other, and all these other planners, and they got next year planned. I know pastors that, you know, plan out their sermons for for the whole year. I'm like, whatever. You know, and we spend so much time planning, you know, every day, when we just got to stop being busy and really just come back to Jesus Christ, to the cross of Jesus Christ, and lay there. Let us pray. We pray to our Heavenly Father, God, we pray that this is not some big rock that's thrown on somebody's lap. God, I pray this is your truth and that your word is convicting, and that if there's anyone here tonight, or if we're all here tonight and we're tired and, you know, New Jersey, you know, we're busy always. We want to add more hours in the day, but no, let's take away the hours and just lay at your feet. Let us love you, God, with all of our hearts, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. Let us love you, God, like we first did. Let us remember what it was like to go out and tell others about you. Let us remember what it's like to love all people, just as you love us and you love all people. Let us remember that we are to love all people. And most of all, God, please, let us remember to love you, to lay at your feet. God, I pray that for someone here that just prays that prayer tonight and says, you know, I need to get back there. I need to get back to church. I need to get back to prayer. I need to get back to that alone time with you, God. Whatever it takes, God. Whatever it takes, bring me back to that place. Bring me back to the heart of worship that is at your feet. We pray this all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.